Hello, and welcome to the Luke Miller Podcast. Again, I'm glad you're able to join us. Last week, we started in on a new, I guess we could call it series in our podcast. We've been looking at Psalms, we looked at prayer, we've looked at worship, and now I thought it was a good time for us to maybe take a look at wisdom and wisdom literature, specifically the Proverbs. And last week, we talked about how wisdom and the Proverbs themselves often find themselves rooted in this term, fear of the Lord, and what that looks like. Today, I wanted to spend some time and take a look at wisdom literature as a whole and also Proverbs as a whole. We need to learn what Proverbs are, what Proverbs aren't, and even how we should approach them as we are reading Scripture. When we read Scripture, we approach it in very different ways, depending on whether we're reading poetic literature, prophetic literature, legal literature. I mean, like the Ten Commandments, for example. The way we approach the Ten Commandments is different than how we approach maybe the book of Zechariah. And likewise, in narrative form, or just like parables, for example, is a great one in the New Testament. And the letters to Paul are different than how we would read a parable that Jesus is talking about. So I think it is good for us to learn and spend some time, at least, looking at how we can approach the book of Proverbs and wisdom literature in itself. Within the Bible, we've got several books that fall under this wisdom literature category. And each one is a little more, or each one is different than the other. They are very diverse, but have so much in common that they have been grouped together. Together, the three books account for the majority of occurrences of the word wisdom in the Old Testament. Wisdom being chacham. That's one of those lovely Hebrew words that you can practice after you listen to this. Chacham, just a very nice guttural sound there. And so we've got Proverbs, and we've got Ecclesiastes, and we've got Song of Songs as well, which functions in many ways also as wisdom literature. We also like to throw Job in there as well because of the fair amount of wisdom that is used in that particular book and the rationale and almost the internal debate that happens. But that's a separate podcast for a separate day. When we look at wisdom in the Bible, we see that there's really three key words which are there, I guess. Not I guess, I know. When we think of words of wisdom, we hear chacham, which is wisdom. Then the next word that we hear is understanding. And the third word that occurs is intelligent. All right? Now, one of the cool things about Proverbs is that for every pro, there is a con. For every good thing, there is also a definition or a word that counters that good thing. We call it, and if you really want to impress people at a dinner party later this week, then you'll use this term, antithetical parallelism. That's right, antithetical parallelism. So it's a device that is used by the book of Proverbs, and we'll talk about that a little later. But we've got wisdom, we've got understanding, and we've got intelligence when we see the word wisdom. The opposite that we see is, believe it or not, Hebrew has a word for stupid, kessel, or an arrogant person, or a fool. And they counter with each other. So wisdom is often paired with stupid. And understanding is also paired with someone who's arrogant. And intelligent is often with the fool. and we'll see this. With a majority of cases, when we see one, we will see the other. And each one is slightly different than the other: wisdom, understanding, intelligence. And so wisdom itself is that knowledge itself. Understanding is being able to comprehend that wisdom. And intelligence is, again, the willingness to seek out wisdom. And that's how it's defined, right? And so you can see how it is the other words, Kessel, or stupid, is counter to wisdom. But you can see how understanding, what counters that is arrogance, right? And so understanding is being able to take the wisdom and actually comprehend it, whereas an arrogant person doesn't fully comprehend the wisdom and allows it to go to their head. Likewise, intelligence with fool. Now, I just got to stop here and pause that. It's kind of funny because, or at least I think it's funny, every time I use that word Kessel and give its definition of stupid, I feel like I'm about to get in trouble because I nonstop preach to my kids that that is a word that you do not use. And I think I've said it about 10 times in the last 5 minutes while talking about this. So there's my disclaimer in this. I'm assuming that my kids aren't listening to my podcast, but nonetheless, it is a Hebrew word, and that's why I'm saying it. And so I'm hoping my mom's not listening, and I'm hoping I don't get in trouble for using that word myself. But you have to understand that this is what makes up wisdom literature, right? And so when we look at what makes up wisdom literature even more, it's filled with humanistic qualities, right? We don't see anything in the book of Proverbs about "thus says the Lord." There's a sense throughout the books that there's a concern for what is good for men and women. And there's that value of wisdom. There's the power of speech. Within it, we also see that there's the problem of suffering. And there's also something that is also, I guess we could say, there's an ambiguity in that. There's wisdom for all. And I want to say that a lot of it also has to do with common sense. But it's ways to live by. Like this, most of this book is written by Solomon as a way to inform young people on how to live not just a genuine life, a God-fearing life, but also a life which respects justice, respects the poor, the widow, and the orphan. A lot of what we see here is a reflection of what is talked about in Deuteronomy and the commands that God had given. Now, Solomon's saying, you know these commands. Here are the practical ways in which it plays out, and we're getting it from the wisest man who ever lived. Now here's something that, and again, as we're kind of giving an introduction to this, and there's a reason why I'm doing this, is because once we start looking at Proverbs themselves, we'll start to really see how this can naturally play out in our lives as we go forward. But wisdom refers to particular skills, not Liam Neeson's particular skills, if I can make that reference, but both physical and intellectual. And I think that's important. And so we see that people who possess the skills, certain skills, are considered wise. Artistic design, metalwork, work with precious stones, woodwork, all of these things are considered skills that if you possess, you are considered wise in Scripture. If we take a look at Exodus chapter 31, verses 3 through 5, and says, "And I filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with the knowledge of all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts." Look at that. I think that's where all of our scrapbookers out there at that very end find a way to say that those scrapbooking rooms that they've got down in there, or they have in their house, or up here, and we have it in our. Everyone has a scrapbooking room in their basement. I think Exodus chapter 31 is their life verse at the end there, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Although they may read crafts as craft booking. So we see more that it's more than just intellectual, and I can we can see that the nature of wisdom itself involves something. There's some key things here that I think it's really important for us to see. So Exodus 35:25 talks about spinning, weaving, and embroidery as one of those skills as well. 2 Samuel talks about craftiness, the ability to work with your hands. Now here's one that is probably more relevant now than any other time in history, is 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 6, which talks about political pragmatism and not being politically savvy, but understanding and being wise in who you're reaching, right? And that is the 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 6. And so even that is considered, you know, a component of wisdom. One of my favorite ones, and I say this because I have sisters, and so I think they fall into this category as well, is Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 17, which is professional mourners or professional wailers. Not ocean wailing, but actually just mourning. Like, so at the end, or when you're at a funeral, a good example of this in present context is often you see some of those funerals in places like New Orleans, where you've got the band out front and you've got a procession of people all mourning. Well, in Jeremiah chapter 9, we actually see that there are people in ancient Near East who that is their job. I say this because my sisters, more than anything, I think, are professional mourners, because they could turn on, I don't know if this is just a characteristic of sisters in general. I'm the oldest, I should say, as I'm talking about this. I've got two sisters and one brother. And it doesn't matter what happened or who was at fault, my sisters could turn on the waterworks and start crying in any situation. I mean, they could push me down, they could do whatever to me, and then start crying, and somehow I was the one who was in trouble. That is what I mean, that's about as close to a definition of a professional mourner as you can get, although to be fair, I, at the time as a kid, I would say it was more of being a professional crybaby or a tattletaler or whatever you want to say. But nonetheless, somehow it is a biblical thing, right? And Ezekiel as well also points to shipbuilders and sailors as well. So I find it very interesting, all of these components of wisdom themselves, from scripture. But the wisdom books, within them, the definition narrows even further, right? You know, I gave some examples from Exodus and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Intellectual wisdom, which provided the key to happiness and success in life, often we think of as we hear the term wise at heart. A phrase is commonly used in describing wisdom. And in the Bible, the heart is considered the center of reasoning and the will, as well as emotions. That's why we see the heart itself come up so many times and used with our heart, with our soul. And that's just the general consensus, not only in Israelite society, but in all ancient Near Eastern society. Now, it's important to note that this is the one group of literature that often has, it has other similar writings in the ancient Near East. In Egypt, we've got Amenhotep, and in Hittite, we've got the Laws of Hammurabi. All of which are talking about, I guess they're kind of, they're saying it's guidelines to society. Now, the key difference is that while in Egyptian literature and Hittite literature and greater Mesopotamian literature, we see that there are similarities, in the Hebrew literature and wisdom literature, we see the addition of the Lord. Fear of the Lord and talking about God himself. In Egyptian literature, you don't see that. You don't see the talk of God, same with the Laws of Hammurabi. It's on how to live a better life. But you can see a key difference in, and it's a very important difference, is that how Proverbs of Solomon focus and bring the focus more on this is what God wants. Fear of God and what that involves. So, if I was to give just some examples of this without the fear of God, just looking at some of the day to day things that wisdom that is given in Egyptian literature, in the wisdom of Amenhotep, say that 10 times quickly, Amenhotep. It says, "Remove not the landmark of the boundary of the fields." And trespass not on the boundary of the widow. So it's here the Egyptians are saying, take care of the widow and the orphan, right? If you go to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 10, you see, remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. So it's almost identical. So there's a lot of crossover. That doesn't mean anybody's copying anybody here, but this is very much a lot of this is the guidelines to living a wise life. And also, I guess there's no better way to say it than just functioning in society, properly functioning in society. We'll see things like social justice pop up, but there's a key difference in biblical social justice and how the world defines it, right? And this is very much God ordained, right? It's social issues. Again, the poor, the widow, the orphan, the sojourner, which is the immigrant, and how to treat people. And Proverbs goes into it even further by saying that you have not only is it just normal society, it's dealing with how you look after money. It's looking at how you take care of yourself. In all of part of that, all of that is part of following God. So, you know, one of the favorite exercises I have when I start talking about wisdom literature and I start teaching it at Bible colleges, and I hope you don't mind, I feel like I've nerded out a bit today talking about wisdom literature and Proverbs themselves. Next week, we'll take a look at actually the key people that are mentioned in the book of Proverbs, key themes. And again, because Proverbs are so small, we have to look at multiple Proverbs to really paint a picture of different themes. And so we're going to start in that next week and work our way through that. Proverbs is very tough to just go chapter by chapter because it is made up of different larger parts, but make reference to all the different themes. But, you know, one of the exercises that I enjoy the most, I think, when I do wisdom literature is an exercise that was given to me when I first got to Bible college and when I left Bible college. And our dorm leader at the time gave us all these little recipe cards when I first arrived at Bible college, and on them were wise words of wisdom, as he called them. And on those cards were pieces of information that fourth year students, now graduating from Bible college, had to had to write out, if they were to go back and do it all again, what are some pieces of wisdom that they would wish they had known going into it? And so you get everything from, you know, make sure that you separate your academic life from the spiritual component of things as well, because it's very easy to study the Bible in school and not have it take that relational form in your own devotions because you're always studying it. You know, little things like that, that is just kind of heads up. Also, when to arrive at the dining hall to get the best seats and when to get in the quickest. I mean, it covered everything, which is kind of like Proverbs, although there's nothing about King Solomon's dining hall and getting in. But one of the exercises that I like to do is just that, is saying, if I could go back to younger Luke and give some advice, what would be the advice that I would give? And I know that we actually do this with our high schoolers, even just as they graduate, and we're able to pass on wisdom. I love that at Sunrise, we pass around Bibles and it has a chance for people to write in the Bibles, and then we give them to the students. Such a cool idea, and very much the essence of what Proverbs is about in and of itself, is that message of passing on to the youth wisdom for how to live and how to go about life. My favorite, I'll finish with this. It's not a biblical example, but my favorite is from my grandma. She's since passed away, but when I went to Bible college, I think she was in her 90s for sure. And as I was leaving to go to Bible college for the first time, she looks at me and she says, don't marry the first girl who bats her eyelashes at you when you go out to Bible college. And don't bat your eyelashes at any girls because that's creepy. And so you know what? It stuck. I mean, I still remember that proverb from my 90-year-old grandma heading off to Bible college. I can't even start to describe the amount of times that I have shared that story even and just remember it. And I can hear her voice saying it even as we talk now. But what is wisdom that you would pass on? As we start to dive into Proverbs, and we see that it is more than just intellectual knowledge, it's skills that we have and working ahead. What skills do you want to pass on to the next generation? What wisdom do you want to pass on to the next generation? This is what Proverbs is about. What do you want to pass on to the next generation about what it means to be a valuable and integral part of society? And this, again, is covering everything from finances to the fear of the Lord and your own spiritual walk to interactions with people and how you treat people. And so I'm gonna leave it at that for this week. Next week, we're going to take a look at themes. I hope, again, thank you for just allowing me to, like I said, nerd out a little bit here and... I love getting into the intricacies, especially of wisdom literature, because a good chunk of my schooling was spent in this stuff. But it's super fascinating when you look at passages that we don't often preach on because they're so small, right? They're only, each proverb is only two lines. And so it's not exactly the standard preaching book that you use and you hear sermon series is on. Maybe I'm teeing up a future sermon series, I don't know. But nonetheless, it's a fascinating book that we don't often, it's often quoted, and it's actually, it's often quoted in the secular world, but and there's a lot of phrases, and we'll talk about some of those phrases that come straight from the book of Proverbs that you hear every day as people are kind of just giving cliche answers to things, except for Proverbs, it means more. You know what? Even as I'm talking about this, I already can tell I'm starting to go down rabbit trails, and I think I said in conclusion 6 minutes ago, so I should probably be wrapping it up. But thanks for joining today. I'm going to pray, and then we'll head out here. God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for the wisdom that Solomon imparted on us through the book of Proverbs, and the wisdom that other people have given us over the years, the biblical wisdom that people have shared that have helped us grow, have helped us in our walk with you, the skills that people have taught us. And God, we just pray that we will be able to think about that this week on what skills and what wisdom would we want to pass on to our next generation, our kids, our grandkids, our community. And then we can start to talk out what are those practical things and how we can actually do that. And so, God, we just thank you for this wisdom that has been given to us through your word. And we just ask that you soften our hearts to hear what we need to hear, and that we'll be able to go with confidence as we share. So we just thank you for this, and we pray these things all in your amazing and holy name. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm glad that you were able to join, and I'm looking forward to this series and looking forward to next week. So take care, have a great week, and I'll see you next week.